I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. Any of you who have been listening to our program over the last week know that we have mentioned more than once the assassination, the murder of Giuliano Meyer-Khamis, who was both Jewish and Palestinian. He was Israeli and Palestinian. His mother was from a Zionist family who grew up in Israel. His father was Palestinian and Christian from an old Palestinian family who were involved in their people's lives as leaders forever. Both his grandfathers lived near each other, one expelled from the land, one taking the land. He embodied everything that was Israel and Palestine in his soul and ran the Freedom Theater in Jenin in a refugee camp, and an amazing theater. We took kids from who had post-traumatic stress disorder, kids from the street, and built this world to find, to address their oppression both internally and externally through art and through the theater. And he put on a production. The Israeli government wasn't very fond of him, but he put on a production of Animal Farm, in which some kids played pigs from the Animal Farm story. Some of the more fundamentalist members of the camp didn't like that. Life was threatened, and one man came up and put 5 bullets into him when he was sitting with his 1-year-old son in the car outside of his theater and murdered him. And he was a huge light and spirit. And his death is a great deal to me in life, and I've been talking to many people. And it turned out that a friend of mine in Baltimore, I had no idea was that close, Zahi Khamis, is actually Giuliano Meyer-Khamis' cousin, and married to another friend, Kim Jensen. He is an artist and a teacher and a Palestinian and an American. And Zahi Khamis, welcome to the studio. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for inviting me here.
So I know this was devastating to you. It was devastating, I think, to as I was talking to your lovely wife, Kim, to all of us. For some reason, it just grabbed us. And as I told you earlier, that I was hit by this so deeply because he and I had been in these email discussions about my past, his past, Zionism, Palestine, theater, and having him come on this show. And I didn't move quick enough, and he was murdered before he could grace our airwaves.
Yeah.
But talk about this human being and who he was for you.
I want to tell you, Mark, that when I heard the news about Giuliano on Monday around 11 in the morning, my nephew from Palestine, Israel, put it on Facebook. Kim, my wife, read it, and then she came down, told me Giuliano was murdered. I felt the walls tumble on me and my family. Beside Kim, I have also 2 children. One of them, she's 19 years old, and she's in theater. Her name is Ahlam, which means dreams.
beautiful name.
Yeah. We load our children with names and hope that they would live up to these names. But and Ahlam was Giuliano was always in her, he was always on her mind because she always thought of going to Jenin and work with him, learn from him. And so I felt that whole dream of connecting with Giuliano and expanding, working with him to expand the work, just like your hope to meet with him and visit him or have him come to the show. Oof. Was aborted by this. Much of like my family, my small family here in Baltimore, much of our hope to work with Giuliano and go back, I was hoping to go back this summer and actually go visit him at the theater and see what he's up to. All of that got stopped. And as it is with every shocking murder like this, I can say that basically I feel silenced. Mm-hmm. But we're bound to come out of it and bound to understand Giuliano more, some more, get to know him more. It's funny that we get to know sometimes people who are close to us after we lose them, especially in such an abrupt way. We get to know more about them. All of a sudden, like all the details now are coming about Giuliano. And all I'm learning now is that there was a truly beautiful individual that Giuliano embodied and a big individual, a huge individual that reflects your Jewishness, my Palestinianhood, and the commonality and the contradictions.
And his work. Tell our listeners a bit from what you know of him and his work in the Freedom Theater and what it meant.
Giuliano, the truth is that I haven't seen much of his work. Of course, like everyone here, I've seen Arna's Children. And
a documentary about his mother who created a theater in Jenin that was destroyed by the Israelis when they went in.
Right, in 2002.
And his mother was Jewish and from an Israeli Zionist family.
Right. Arna, I know Arna from the time I was a child.
Really?
Yes. I remember her. I remember her voice. She was a gorgeous young woman who actually had a love relationship for my mother. And she would come every time she was in Nazareth area, because we lived not too far from Nazareth, about 1 mile away from Nazareth. She would come and visit and eat with us, and she would encourage my mother not to obey my father so readily. And she was a troublemaker. Arna was a troublemaker in, you know, at home, in the street, politically, socially, and rightly so, rightly so. But beside Arna's Children, of course, I saw his performance, I think, in a movie called Children of Rage. I'm not sure. Do you know about that movie?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In which he's a central figure in that documentary. And that was around the time when he was performing street art. And quite an advanced, quite a revolutionary and daring performance that he did in Tel Aviv, in the streets of Tel Aviv. I advise everyone to look that movie up and see it so they could know more about Giuliano. I know I saw the movie The Little Drummer Girl, but I never realized that he was actually part of that, too.
Yeah, he was a great film actor as well.
Yeah. So I just saw his wonderful trailer for Alice in Wonderland, and I want to see that production. And I guess from today on, I want to find out about Giuliano, you know, about what he's been doing. Obviously, he is much, much bigger than what I used to think about Giuliano.
It kind of unfolds as he talked about his, pardon me, he talked about his, this interview that your wife sent out. He talked about his mother being the daughter of a great kind of Zionist labor leader before the establishment of the State of Israel, but in Palestine.
Right.
When she was a member of the Liberation Army, what they call Liberation Army fighting in 1948,
the Palmach,
mm-hmm. When she saw that what it meant to throw out the Palestinian people from the places they were fighting, she walked away, said, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
And she joined the Communist Party of Israel, Palestine.
Right, very early on. I mean, we're talking about, I think,
49. Yeah. And she met her husband, who is your family.
My uncle, Saliba.
Your uncle.
Yeah.
Who was a Christian Palestinian and a member of the Communist Party.
Right.
And then they fell in love, and she was shunned by her family because she fell in love with a Palestinian and got married and had children.
Right, right. Actually, I should say something about my Uncle Saliba because not much when Giuliano comes up. Usually it's because he actually paid much more attention to his mother and for his own reasons, but I feel that the role of his father is, most of the time, it's really underplayed. I want to say what I know a little bit about Saliba Khamis. Saliba was in the Israeli Communist Party. Prior to that, he was in the Palestinian Communist Party, but then the split took place, and he stayed with the Israeli Communist Party for 45 years, and he was the chief editor of their newspaper, fantastic writer, who his column, almost every column he wrote to the paper turned out, led him to prison. He was arrested. The only news I remember, like from childhood, about Saliba is he's being arrested, he's being released, he's being arrested. And but his father was also a central committee member of the Communist Party, and at a certain point later on in the 80s, late 80s, he withdrew from the Communist Party. He critiqued the Soviet Union, the corruption in the Soviet Union, and criticized the corruption also in the within the Communist Party. And his father was a great inspiration, a great company, always on the bright side, always challenging cynical comments, even within the family. He was never comfortable with oppressive behavior, be it political or social, by his cousins, by people in the street, and also by political institutions. And I think that Giuliano was bequeathed that, and I see it in him. The interview you talked about, I could see Saliba, actually.
You could see his father.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he said in that interview, which I found really fascinating about himself, when the interviewer asked Giuliano Mercamus that he embodied the struggle of Palestine and Israel within him, and he called it the nightmare.
Right. Well, I love that. Yeah,
and that his work. He talked about hope coming not from being tied to the Palestinian Authority and leadership that was selling out, as mm-hmm. he put it, as right. well as he was upset right. with the Israeli government. He said that the Palestinian. He kept calling himself a Palestinian, and a Jew, but a Palestinian.
Right,
and that he said it was the art and the theater and the lights and the filmmaking that would break down the world artistically
right.
and then bring it back so there can be a new soul pumped in right. to the young people of Palestine who
right.
can think of things in a way that isn't a violent way. And he made peace. He brought this story about how he brought one of the leaders of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs
yeah.
Brigade
uh-huh.
to nonviolence and to the theater.
Right, right.
What was his name?
Zakaria Zubeidi.
Right.
Yeah.
Who became this, was a...
He's a partner, I guess, with, he's Giuliano's partner
right.
In the theater. And they both manage and safeguard each other. I think maybe Zakaria protects him and from obvious, you know, from the people who hated probably what Giuliano was about, because Giuliano was not just about the Palestinian struggle against occupation. He was also about the internal nightmare, Palestinian nightmare, social problems. In particular, Giuliano spoke about women issues.
Right.
And he spoke about women issues in every occasion. He spoke about sexuality. It's not something that, and he brought it to the theater in a very confrontational, in very confrontational forms.
In terms of the Palestinian culture itself.
Yeah, I mean,
the religious culture.
Yeah. I mean, he truly brought the kind of art that the Palestinian society needed, which is confrontational art, not art that just assuages the Palestinians, but actually challenges them to go beyond being victims and actually confront themselves and actually live while under occupation, live an honest and liberated life and still deal with the issues that sometimes occupation distracts you from. Occupation like makes it for it tends to reduce a Palestinian to nothing but a victim. And Giuliano refused that.
He really aptly put, and I think that I remember seeing this piece he did, a film of one of his actors who was a black Palestinian woman. It was a very powerful piece that we're going to share with the listeners at some time in the very near future.
This is in Alice
yes,
in Wonderland.
She was the star of Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend Mariam Shaheen, who is a Palestinian journalist, wrote this. I'll read it to you very quickly. She said, his assassination has shaken us to the core because we know he was killed because of his ideas and not his identity. If secular progressive forces are being hunted down, as I believe they are with this assassination, mm-hmm. it means we are all targets and this is so scary. So beyond the loss of the significant voice and activist in a virtually forgotten part of Palestine, because Jenin was virtually off the map without him, we all feel threatened now. I think the fact he was somehow Jewish and Israeli actually protected him. At least I thought so for a while. Mm-hmm. It seems no one is safe from the fanatics.
Right. Right. I think, I mean, he talks about his ability to talk to the soldiers at the checkpoints.
Right.
And he says, like, the minute the soldier hears his Hebrew, kind of like it makes it easier for him to cross these checkpoints. But I do think that the assassination of Giuliano is really an attempt at what – I don't know if you read Amira Haas's piece today in the Haaretz.
No, I have not yet. I'll read it till later.
Yes, she said, fantastic piece. And she says that that was an attempt at the binational resistance movement, meaning which Giuliano embodied in the best way possible.
Yes.
Because he was lucky, because he was Jewish and a Palestinian, 100% Jewish, 100%
as he says.
Palestinian.
Right.
And he lived both, and he was neither.
Right.
At the same time. I mean, Giuliano really embodies also the just a human, every human. So Amira Haas actually presents us with, she says that the death of Giuliano leaves us with the possible. And I was wondering what she meant by that. I think I have an idea about what is possible. What did Giuliano reveal to us about what's possible? And I think that's the biggest question that Giuliano leaves us with. And it's the question that concerns me individually, personally, more than anything else. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here?
That is, it's really what you said. She wrote and how it's hit you so deep. The question of what is the possible? Because I've been wrestling also with what happens now with Giuliano Meir Hamas, even though his body is cold in the ground. What he left us, and you talk about, she talked about the possible.
Yeah,
because we do have to wrestle with what he left us and what that legacy leaves us as human beings, as world citizens, as human beings of the planet, not just as Israelis and Palestinians.
Right, right, and I think. Giuliano obviously had no problem with the Palestinians or with the Jews, being the son of two incredible activists, people who put their lives on the line all throughout their lives, and who lived an intense life. I think Giuliano had basically presents us with the silliness of defining ourselves in this conflict as Jews or as Palestinians. I think he went beyond that. He managed to go beyond it toward real liberation, a liberation that also promises and embraces both communities with a future vision. I read in the email. Can we talk about this email that your friend sent to
Cam? In the next few minutes we have, yes.
And Giuliano, he mentions that Giuliano believes in this secular democratic state. And I do too. I don't see actually that there is any other solution. The idea of establishing a Palestinian state right now, an independent Palestinian state, separate state, is not viable, physically speaking. And the idea of having a Jewish state within the 67 borders is kind of ridiculous, because we already have 1.5 million Palestinians in there. And also there's the question of the refugees.
Settlements. Refugees, right.
So what's to be done with the people who were, 63 years ago, ran away from the pogroms? What are we going to do with
In Giuliano Meir Hamas's words to that effect were talking about what's now Palestine and Israel. He said they have to make the place big enough for both nations living together, not in coexistence, but in existence.
That's right.
He really was a visionary and a man of peace and of artistic power.
Right.
I mean, he lived that through his art.
Right. Yeah, he saw, Giuliano obviously saw no inherent hatred or impossibility of existing together between Jews and Palestinians, as I don't. I don't see, never experienced it. I actually never experienced the hatred that when I encounter anti-Semitism, the notion of anti-Semitism, it's foreign to me as a Palestinian. As a matter of fact, my first encounter personally with anti-Semitism was in London when I was thought of, I was a young man, and some English woman told me, "What are you, a Jew?" And she pointed to her finger, to her nose. And it was my first, wow, I said, what is this? I think like the conflict is absolutely political, political conflict. And once that political question is resolved, as in Giuliano's case, where it was resolved before he was born by his parents, two people early on in the conflict have transcended both Zionism and Palestinian national vision and merged together as two human beings with a socialist vision for the future. And to him, it was, So he was thinking, I think Giuliano was thinking, it's all about a political solution. But, of course, his work was through cultural, let's do art. Let's have art challenge. I mean, this is art, resistance art. That's right. What Giuliano was involved in. I don't think Giuliano, by the way, was a peace activist.
No, he was.
Yeah. So Giuliano actually was a resistance artist.
He was a revolutionary artist.
Yeah, he was absolutely a revolutionary artist.
Who wanted to cure, he wanted to heal the social, political insanity. But he also wanted to heal the insanity and pain inside of the young people he worked with in the refugee camp.
Right.
He did both.
Right, right, which is amazing. Giuliano, on the one hand, on an individual level, Giuliano was someone who confronted all kinds of existential questions, sexual questions. If you read his interviews with Israeli papers, early interviews, like from the early 90s, fantastic interviews, by the way, where he talks about his personal journey on a personal level, he managed to travel, journey through all kinds of tough questions that have to do with existence itself. And on the other hand, when he brought his personal individual angst to the camp, he actually managed to, like you said, managed to heal and actually sympathize with other people's suffering and other people's experiences in this world, the Palestinian children in this case. And he managed to contribute so much. I mean, the Jenin camp, I had never heard about the Jenin camp until I started learning about the Stone Theater, that's what Arna first called it, and then later on it became
the Freedom Theater.
Freedom Theater. And it was the Freedom Theater that took this extremely marginalized place where refugees ended up, called the Jenin Camp, and he turned it into the most exciting spot, place, geography in Palestine. So now, at this point, if I have, as I teach here, when I have students say to me, "I want to go to the West Bank. Where should I go?" I say, "You go to Jenin camp, the Jenin camp." And it became, he connected this small place with the rest of the world, with us here in Baltimore, with people in New York, with people in Sweden and Finland and Russia and France. All of a sudden, this unknown place became quite an address to go to. And, yeah.
This has been just the beginning of our conversations mm-hmm. that we're going to have about Giuliano Meir Chamas over the coming months. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you, Zaki Chamas, artist, teacher, cousin of Giuliano, for taking the time this morning to be with us.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
And if you go to the SteinerShow.org website, we will be posting videos, films, and articles about Giuliano Meir Chamas, and you can follow this over the coming weeks and months. Thank you so much for listening. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.